summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild.
Hello and welcome into episode 39 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and this episode the blather is serviced. The textile technique returns, and I hope you've all got a flip flop handy. I'm going to review the Quilting Arts magazine, and of course I'll tell you all about the Me show. All the links are in the show notes that come with where you download this from, so relax and get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. So get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. This episode is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Grant Bell, whom I was blessed to know.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Well, this blather is about service. Firstly, normal service has resumed. Thanks to you all for your get well wishes. I feel much better now, and as you can hear, can talk again. Thanks to my lovely husband for reading last episode for me. The definition of service can be a noun, adjective or verb, making it a very versatile and greedy word. It's all three. Its top noun definition is, it's an act of helpful activity. Help and aid and to do someone a service. The adjective definition is, of service, useful. And the verb definition is to make fit for use, repair, restore, to condition for service, to service an automobile, for instance. The reason I'm having service this blather is because, well, I was doing over the Ord this weekend, visiting friends down in Melrose. Hubby made the arrangement, and as you know, he is very lovely. Yes, you're very, very lovely, Hubby. He's that lovely, he arranged for us to fly from Wick to Edinburgh return and stay at a very nice hotel in Edinburgh the night before. Our friends collected us and dropped us up from Melrose, and we had a brilliant weekend, thanks to all concerned. Of course, first place I went to when I got to Edinburgh was the Disney shop in Princess Street, so I could buy the gilt present for the bairnies who were staying with Grandma at home. First, we had good service at Wick Airport. Richard has flown from there a lot over the years and always asks for seat 7B, because there's a wee bit more leg room for him and he can stretch his knee out, and he's had his knee rebuilt, so he kind of helps with getting this. And when the Flybe staff, or Nettie to me, who's my old neighbour, sees his name, she automatically books him the seat there and back, which is very good service. They all smile in the airport and it's always friendly. The flight down was excited and it was full of Caithnesians away somewhere for the weekend or longer. We got to Edinburgh, had a quick meeting with a client, and then I went to the Disney shop where you get guaranteed a good service. It would be hard to be grumpy in that shop full of toys and Disney magic. Mind you, there was a wee toddler who wasn't so happy our mother was putting back the big teddy Mickey Mouse back on the shelf. I had to ask for something and the staff were lovely. And then we strolled over the Waverley Bridge taking photos of kilted pipers for Cheryl of Bill the Ball podcast and Coggy, who seemed to like men in kilts. And then we went and stuck our noses in the Hebrides bar at the back of the Waverley station. It's not a bar, this is a pub. It's an old-fashioned, normally full of Highland and Island folk where you get your pint and your dram, no frills asked nor given. I love this pub. From when I was in college, my dad took me there and we met lots of people from Helmsdale he knew. And, oof, that was a night that was. I've forgotten so much it was that fun. Also, I had my hen night start there and my leaving do start there from Scotch Water. Happy, happy memories. In fact, I am smiling thinking about them. But we were hungry, so we went next door to the Doric upstairs and the food is tremendous there. Service there was okay. I had the full tip laid out until the waiter forgot to come back with a receipt and he was a wee bit nippy when I told him I had a nut allergy. So I took a pound back. Now you stateside people, stop tutting at me. Stop falling over and grumping. In the UK, we don't have the same tipping culture as you. We have minimum wage here, so if the service is good, they get tipped. And if it's not, I don't. When I was in Canada, the service was always amazing and I was happy to tip. But here, I'll only tip if it's deserved. But I would recommend the Doric upstairs for food. It's really lovely. And the service was 3 out of 4. Then up at the mound to the hotel, just off the Royal Mile. And it was 5-star. Energy Hunt is good to its staff, so Richard kept saying. The service was amazing. Hotel Missoni, number 1, George the 4th Bridge, is what I call posh. It's very modern, old Italian style. And Sarah, the lift, had stripy wallpaper. The male staff wear kilts, but not tartan kilts. They are in a black and white design, and they don't have sporrans, they have pockets hanging from their belts. There was a fancy name for it, but the designer was called Howie R. Nicholsby from Thistle Street, who makes 21st century kilts. He's made kilts for Alan Cumming, Vin Diesel and Robbie Williams. And I looked them up online. In fact, I'll put the link on the show notes because they're funky, funky kilts. So this hotel had a man in a kilt that carries your luggage upstairs and shows you around the room. Yes, the minibar is complimentary, sir. There is no alcohol in it, but there are wine glasses and corkscrews there waiting. There are slippers and there's a bathrobe to be using. And the big, fancy Bang Olufsen telly that had about 30 films waiting to be watched, all included in the price, sir. I'd never heard of this telly mate before, and I've just looked it up to see how much they cost, and they start about £1,000. Woohoo! No wonder I couldn't work it. There was a fancy coffee machine, which my husband drank dry, and they told us as well, if you want more, just tell us. If you like fancy hotels full of designer chic, then have a spare £200 a night, book here. They were really there for your service, and they knew their stuff, and it's really central. And then that night we walked down to the Jam House on Queen Street, which is a big fancy restaurant with live music and a dance area. It was okay, but I didn't leave a tip, and I don't think I'll be rushing back. Their service was slow and not very attentive, and there was glass on my table. However, the food was alright. Then we went back up the mound and I tried to take a photo of Word George the Fourth on George Street, of George the Fourth fame, but it was in the dark and rain. And it was for you, I did think of you. And we went into Deacon Brodie's pub on the Royal Mile, and out was Ace. And the most wonderful ginger beer and many happy memories from both of us were discussed. It's a proper pub too, and worth a couple of pints in it if you ever visit the capital. Deacon Brodie's quite an interesting story as well. That's who Robert Louis Stevenson based Jekyll and Hyde on. Next day we were up early and past Waverley Station again. There was a lot of men in kilts, and goodness me, they pulled all the stops out because the Tartan Army were on their way to Hampden to watch Scotland draw against the Czech Republic. So I stopped. I was trying to take photographs of kilts for Cheryl again, and my husband is going, "Stop it! Stop it! You're taking photos of people in kilts. How embarrassing! You're acting like a tourist." And I was like, "But I am a tourist today." And I actually want to show that it is completely normal of a Saturday to see a lot of men in kilts wandering around if there's a certain thing going on in Scotland, like the rugby or the football or a wedding. It's perfectly normal, but it's lovely to see. I've actually asked Hubby to talk to us about kilts for the next episode, and he said he would. So we walked across Waverley Bridge again, and we went to John Lewis Haberdashery and the St James's Centre. I managed to get Hubby to disappear off to Sports Direct, but I had a browse, trying not to bounce around in excitement. Time had run away with me again the afternoon before, and I never managed to get to K1 Yarns or Jenner's or McCree Brothers, and yous were all telling us off on Twitter. But I did need to buy my lovely mother a present for looking after the bairns. I went into the department and my mind melted. It just froze. I knew I wanted a couple of balls of nice wool for Mum to make a shawl. But, choice? Ah! My head just went, ugh! Oh, that's a nice colour. But I will say the staff in John Lewis, a haberdashery department in Edinburgh St James's Centre, are wonderful. That day I was there, 25 minutes, wandering around with my little case and a puzzled look on my face. And I was asked if I needed help 3 times. And at each point I said yes, I did. The lady on the yarn bit helped me purchase 3 balls of rowan fine lace. The lady on the material bit helped me get extra thin, sharp quilting pins. The lady on the button bit helped me find that they didn't have a proper shawl pins, but I had found a chalk wheel for quilting when I was looking. And then Hobby came back. And we went upstairs for more good service and food in the cafe on the fourth floor. However, something was kind of bothering me. I normally spend about £60 or so when I go to Lewis's, bearing in mind I only get there once or twice a year at the most. So I never questioned it when my bill was put through. And then when I thought about it later at night, I thought, I've been charged 3 whole metres rather than 3/3 of a metre. So I phoned them up on Monday and, I had to phone. I hate phoning. And the man was very nice, and then the lady from the department rang me back and sorted it out, and there was very good service. And I actually did pass on my compliments for her staff, so I hope it made her day. My weekend away was wonderful. We had a great time in Edinburgh, living the life I couldn't afford when I lived there, and we had a wonderful time visiting our friends down in Melrose. Happy 40th birthday, Alistair. We had a great time. More good service I received this week is from Sandy Spinners. I finally raised enough money to order my drum corder. Hooray! So I ordered it and I tweeted that I had ordered it, and instantly I got a reply back saying it was being processed. How fantastic is that? So if you want anything in the realms of spinning, go check out their website. Sandy, spelled Sandey, as in the island in the Orkney Islands, spinners. I have the links in the show notes. We often pay lip service to things, which means you insincerely give your support to things, such as podcasters paying lip service to the amount of actual knitting that we get done between shows, myself included, of course. We have to service our machinery, whether it's your car, your windmill, your boiler, your sewing machine. Machines need looking after and topping up with oil and replacing worn-out things. We are told to service our spinning wheels by oiling them after every sitting. Not that I'm that good, but I do oil mine regularly because it costs a lot of money and I want it to last as long as possible, as I am not getting a new one anytime soon. Sorry, Sandy Spinners, but I'm not. And sewing machines need maintaining and they will last at least 40 years. I know my one has, as it's older than me by quite a few years because my granddad bought it for my mum. I oil it, I brush the fluff out, and I hug it. I think the hug is the extra bit. It's not that pointless. Keep your craft equipment well maintained and it will work better for you at the time you need it and for a long time to come. And at the kirk we have the order of service. Whether it's a baptism, a wedding or a funeral, you go in and you're told what the order of the church service will be. This week we have dedicated the episode to Mr. Grant Bell, who is the minister who baptised my Daisy only this Easter and has sadly passed away after having a very dignified illness. I was speaking to his son last week and he said that his dad was at peace and he knew where he was going. So rest in peace, Mr. Bell. You will be missed. If you need a pee, stop now because it's time for the Daisy laugh. Because she laughed that sunny Easter Sunday, and I think it'll brighten her mood again. So, the craft fairy.
Craft fairy.
As I've told you, I visited the hallowed halls of John Lewis Haberdashery and purchased some yarn for my mum as a thank you for looking after the bairns all weekend. I bought her some rowan fine lace in a bonny blue colour to match one of her jumpers that she wears to the kirk. I also got her some of the clover fine quilter pins. I wanted some and I thought she would too. I also bought some undyed rowan fine lace, which is going to be dyed with woad that I promised Yarn Salad ages ago. I'm pleased, Yarn Salad, that you're finally on your way to North Carolina. Stacey, it's been a long time coming. Don't stress the little things and hopefully this yarn will come out bonny blue. Obviously, you're going to get it when you're there, when you're actually in North Carolina, so call it a housewarming present. I'm not actually going to dye it myself because the day coincides with Daisy's birthday, so the lovely Caroline is going to do it for us. And the lovely Coggy, thank you Coggy, sent me some Kool-Aid from her very own America. I now have a wee stash of stuff waiting for me to spin up some yarn for it. And as I got the drum carder in the post, it won't be long until I have this. So thank you, Coggy. She said no return package necessary, but well. I was over at Peedy Puckle Shoppy that my neighbour has. It's full of tourist stuff and I purchased a wee something that is now in the post to you. I'll tell you listeners what it is in the next episode so it doesn't spoil it for her. I've also sent Cheryl of Bell of the Ball her very own kilted man. Laurie Starr, you have a packet in the post in Finarder. I am so sorry for what I'm sending you. It will make sense when you get it. I found it when I was looking at envelopes. And my head goes down in shame. So more on them when they are received. I was at the post office yesterday and I had that many packages to take. I took crayons and paper for Daisy to sit whilst I was attended to by the lovely Castletown post office ladies. They always have good service. Hello, section.
Hello.
Hello, Sandy. I'd like to express a warm hello to all new listeners, medium listeners and older listeners. Have you put your pen in the listener map, Beyonce? I have linked it in the show notes. I've been going in and checking out where everybody lives. It's quite good to see who lives close to each other as well. Especially you in Australia, you're almost down the road. Now, I'd like to say a big Sandy hello.
Hello.
To new Ravelry group members, Melinda, Nita Vanana. I'm going to say banana because it's BH and that's how you see BH in Gaelic. Knit Aram. She's got a very good blog. And Silver Spring Knit and LGESIN, who I am glad you sat out Hurricane Irene. I was worried about you. I've also had some lovely messages. I love your project pages and I hope you all have a blether and a what's crack section on the Ravelry group. So carry on being Beyonce, put your pin in the map. Random hellos to Cara Trike, Neil's Nana, Bio Betty, don't drop the bairn off the bed, Shirley in Finland, Quilty Neekers, and Darla, who's a scientific quilter. She's got a podcast. Continuing thoughts to LP Star and her lovely mum. I'm hoping that you're going to continue improving. On to What's the Crack section.
What's the crack section?
A lot of you listened to the last episode, Craft Room 101, and thought it was as much fun as I had thinking about making it. To be perfectly honest, I didn't really do it justice, but not being well, so I apologise for that. But I'm glad that you've all jumped on board Craft Room 101. You still have a chance to enter the competition up until the 18th of September, and then I'll get my random name generator Sandy to pull out your name from his Viking hat for a lovely prize, which has been donated by Caroline, which is very generous of her. Thank you, Caroline. And it's going to be for the best answer, because you're all literal people. I think it's going to be the fairest way. You can still choose from, if you want to put into the Craft Room 101, never to be seen again. This is putting in zips and taking out zips from my mum. Sewing in ends, chosen by Rachel. Man-made fibre, especially acrylic, chosen by Caroline. Knitting in extra stitches by mistake, chosen by Lisa. Tangles and not having the correct equipment, chosen by me. Sarah's sewing machine, by Sarah. Cheap masking tape from our guest Sean. The disappointment of spinning, by Naomi. Sewing out garments, by Audrey. So you've got a lot to choose from, and you can save only one. Please message your thoughts either by email or at kathinscraftcollective@gmail.com or www.kathinscraftcollective.podbean.com or on the Kathinscraft Ravelry group. Now, I note that there are evening classes at Thurso College starting next week for learning to knit. There's a learn to crochet, a learn to patchwork, and also a making cards class. So there's plenty to learn, and I was supposed to do a course for work, which is the reason I was looking at the courses. But the fact that hubby's away in the next 8 week time frame, mum can only do so much babysitting. Shame. Real shame. Yeah, because I'd rather do the knitting, patchwork, crochet, card making, so don't offer, okay? And I've just had a wee tour around the Ravelry search engines. Currently, when you open up Ravelry, they have two guides to show you how to make the most of their search engines for patterns. I kind of recommend you all have a wee look. I use this function a lot, and I thought, I know all about it now, but no I don't, and I didn't, and I've learned something new. And I was tempted to get Sandy to say in his sweetest voice to you, Susan, please do this designer interviews, but no, I have accepted that you won't. I was also thinking that Knitpicks podcast, they do quite a lot of designer interviews, although really they do it because they're selling their stuff, so it's a kind of slanted interview technique. So Susan has put the cry out for my selfishness and has put out there for one of you lovely people to do designer interviews. See last week's episode for more details. On to fibre postcard update. My postcards are now on their way and Torin Isla has received hers. Stacey W and Faye Dreamer, yours will be a few days yet, on account of the view level across the Atlantic. Torin Isla only lives across the sea. And now I'm going to talk you through them. Well, three of them were made from orange hand-dyed material by me, as in, it was hand-dyed by me. Two had screen prints in black ink, and these were of seed heads. All three had the material Evalon adhered onto it, and some were by stitching or some were by Bondaweb. The Evalon material had been coloured by dispersed dyes ironed onto it, and one I had cut out using a soldering iron because it gives a sort of an interesting effect on the edging. But when you're doing this, be aware that you should have it ventilated, otherwise you go a bit mental with the fumes. Well, maybe that's what's wrong with me. On one of them I had stitched on blue paper, which had been painted with Procyon dyes at our last dyeing day, and then I had doodled over the ink blotches. This was an idea from Evelyn Ramsey. The card had some daisy card shapes on, which had been made by Paper Punch, and Daisy herself had helped do it, and she hugged all of these fibre postcards. On two of them, I felt I better line them with a backing to make them sturdy, and I very, very badly did this with some bonny, stripy, shiny material. Please note, ladies, this was not done for neatness, but sturdiness. A bit like myself. I think that they might have figured it out already, and the first one I did had red on the top thread and white in the bottom. But I was stitching it upside down and the white thread was on the right side instead of the wrong side. And it bothered me. Not enough to take it out and do it again. But then I was oil craning in yellow over the material to give it a bit more depth and thought, oh here, I can colour in the white thread. So hooray to me. I enjoyed doing them, and I think we'll do more of these. It's fun to try different techniques to pass around, and they don't take too long to make, just for me to post. So we'll come back to these kind of soon, probably after Christmas, I think, because we'll all be thinking about making mad things for Christmas, whether it's cards, gifts, knitting. I'm not having any of that knitting nonsense, so if you know me, you're not getting anything knitted for Christmas. Probably. But this brings me on nicely to the review section.
The review section.
This episode, I'm going to review the Quilting Arts magazine, and it's the August-September 2011 edition. It's published by Interweave Press in America and costs £3.75. It's not all that easy to get a hold of over here, unless you order it, but I saw my copy in my local newsagents in Wick. Hooray, DR Simpsons! And I grabbed it along with the Stitch magazine, which is the UK Embroidery Guild magazine. And more on that another time, because I love it as well. Now, my textile art ladies subscribe to Quilting Arts, and I had one or two spare copies that they've managed to amass, and I've read quite a few others. Now, this magazine, that I pounce on it when I see it. I used to be like that with my Simply Knitting and then my Lights Knit, but not quite as much anymore. Now it's all about the Quilting Arts. Ooh, and Lights Knit's following me on Twitter. Hello, Lights Knit! This edition has a special on colouring and printing your own fabrics, and we've decided to try and work our way through some of these in textile arts. And one that makes me laugh is tapioca dyeing. I was asking if we could do semolina, but I was told no, because this tapioca has something in it that you can use it for dyeing with, and semolina doesn't. And I says, well, that's an awful shame, because all my semolina is doing is covering the bottom of my cupboard, and it would have been really good to actually use it for something other than having to hoover it up. However, the other one is ice cube dyeing, which is pretty much the same idea as the snow dyeing, but you use ice cubes rather than having to wait for it to snow. And heaven knows we don't want any of that white stuff this year. I love the editor of this magazine, Pokey. Her real name's Patricia Bolton. She's very heavily featured in the magazine, and I think she loves what she does. Each month they have at least six designer-produced projects. And what I like is that they list a wee biography of each of them at the start, so you can go and refer to their other work and their websites. I like the adverts, even though most of them are for stateside and kind of unaccessible to me. But I like looking and seeing what's available and learning more about the geography of the land of the free. Actually, what I kind of do is, Charleston, Tennessee. That's where Last Knit 2 lives. And, Denver. Rocky T Mama. So, if I really, really, really want something, I just push you lot into getting it for me. Obviously, I pay you and make you take the Keith's Craft Collective webcam spy camera in with you so I can experience what you did. But, you know. So I do find this magazine very inspirational, and it gives me confidence to try out new things. I kind of get a bit overwhelmed most times. It's encouraging rather than off-putting. There's a high production on this magazine. The colours and the graphics are wonderful, as you would expect from a magazine based on art. Sometimes instructions could be better, but I think that's down to the designers. And you do get designers who don't remember the beginner's market. Yeah, you high and mighty people. You were down here once. But I like this edition particularly because the techniques were encompassing to what equipment I already had or could easily get a hold of. Except carrageenan, which Celia said, oh, you don't really need that. She's just putting it in for show. Which is what you need to hear sometimes instead of not doing it because you don't have exactly what it says on the tin. The magazine itself is normal magazine size, a bit bigger than A4, and it's 98 pages long, so I think it's good value for money. Actually, yes it is, because the Simply Knitting magazine that I bought to come home on the plane with was £5.99. When did that go up? I love the last page called The Ramblings from Robbie Joy Eklow, who is the goddess of the last minute. Yeah, that's me. And she always gives a good story. You can get this magazine digitally too, which is good for overseas readers. Remember last week we were looking at Entangled magazine on our iPads? Well, this month you can look at Quilted Arts. There's an amazing interview website machine to back this publication up, and it's plenty of DVDs and downloadable telly to be watched and to buy. Interweave tie in this magazine with some of their other ones, particularly cloth paper and scissors. So, if you're anyway inclined to delve into textile arts, I would recommend buying Quilted Arts. Even if you don't buy all of them, check each copy out once you're in the newsagents. So this month's edition had a nifty technique, and it takes us on very nicely again, here I'm linked up this week, to Textile Technique, which has been rested for a while. and I missed it, so welcome back, Textile Technique. You will like this one, I am sure. This is from Quilting Arts this month, and it's by a designer called Tracy Bunkers. And it is printing material, or card if you prefer, using mouldable foam stamps or stencils. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Ooh, mouldable foam, that's something I don't have. But then I kept reading. The best form of mouldable plastic she could find was old flip-flops. Hooray, you all say, I've got my ones from this summer. Except you in Australia, you get new ones. I don't need them anymore. It's September and autumn is all about here. Well, it is in Caithness, that's for sure. And I bought new sandals this year. I have 3 flip-flops ready for the cutting up and moulding. Serious voice. Health and safety notice. Be very careful heating this plastic material up. Be ventilated. Do not touch hot plastic with bare hands. Do not burn yourself. So this is the voice in your head when you think, it'll be alright. No, it won't. Sort it out, woman. Or man. There you go. Right. What you need is your apron, your penny, as usual, because you're using paint. You need paint, acrylic or whatever. Or like, if you're putting on material and you want it to say, use material paint. Paint brushes or ink pads and cleaner. Baby wipes work are fine. You need your heat gun, such as the one you would use for embossing on card. A hairdryer won't work and a paint stripper is too hot. So, most of you have got one of these and kicking around. Or your crafty card person certainly will, because I have. You need your old flip-flop with the toe bits cut off. Sharp knife or scissors, material or card stock, a long pointy tool such as a bamboo barbecue skewer, a bit of cardboard about 5 inch square, and interesting shapes to mould an impression. The artist used the heads from zips and washers and buttons and flower shapes. You have to use your imagination for this. Look around for your house, especially the tool bench, which are great for this kind of thing. Washers, screws, smallish, thinnish objects such as buttons, shells, toys. We'll use a button, okay? First, cut your flip-flop into an imaginable size. You chop off the toe bit. She suggests a 4-inch square or smaller for ease of handling. Use a sharp craft knife and a metal ruler on a proper cutting board. Or your titanium scissors. Hello, me. Then lay out your objects to be impressed on a flat, even surface. I'm going to see, your buttons. Remember, we're using buttons. Heat your flip-flop square up with a heat gun, holding it with a long, pointy object. Don't get your hands too close while it's heating up. Be careful if you heat it too much, you do not melt it into your hands. This is the voice in your head. Remember, be careful. Use tongs to pick it up and place it over the buttons to be moulded and get a piece of cardboard to cover it and squash it down so it moulds for about 5 seconds. Then check the impression. You might have to reheat it and squash it again. Pick out your buttons and leave it to cool completely. And then you can get your new stamp painted up and use it to stamp your material or your cardstock. This is what you use your paint and your paintbrush for. Or you could use a brayer, which is quite good as well. So voila, mouldable plastic using flip-flops. Done! Like Gordon Ramsay. Yes, chef. The link is www.shop.quiltingdaily.com.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me!
Me show. Did I tell you it was all about me? Because it is, you know. I am me. I am carrying on with the pie shop. I'm on the last 38 rows until the border, and I've changed up a cable size, which helped completely. I had to look up more help on how to do the border because Elizabeth's instructions were pithy. I mean, she tries to enable knitters, but my brain does not work that way yet. I may yet ask you for help on this, but I'm 38 rows and I've got about 500 odd stitches on the cable, so it won't be next week. The asymmetrical cardigan sat, and then I took a gee yesterday and attached the sleeves. Well, I have one on and I am almost doing the second one. I may do that after I've done this. I did buy some new long sleeve t-shirts to match, so I'm desperate to get it finished. I finished my scarflet by Susan Iacone. Weren't you impressed with my husband's pronunciation of that last week? I was wondering how to say it myself. I was quite impressed with him. However, I named it the Scarf of Doom. And this has got nothing to do with the pattern at all, or the finished article, which is really, really lovely, by the way. But because it was to do with me, this, the Louise of Doom, because it was to do with going to be 3 or 4 different patterns to the one that I ended up with. And then I ran out of Signet halfway point. I checked a pattern and it says one ball should do, and I don't know if I did the pattern wrong, but I would have needed two, easily, if not three. However, I went into my stash of wool and I found a purple and a raspberry pink to match the purple Signet. I had to wind it into balls. It fangled. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, when I went to use it, my poorly chased didn't think they liked this mohair stuff, and I decided I was allergic to it. But, as I had no other purple and no inclination or time to go to the shop to get it posted, I stuck with it, and it was a BFL mohair blend. After a while, I stopped wheezing, so I don't know if it might have just been my poorly chased or it was a bit dusty for being in stash limbo for a while. And this scarflet can be worn in lots of ways. Mum had a great time fiddling on with it for me. And it was good because it covers your chest and keeps it nice and warm. My photo of me on my project pages is not the most flattering, because, and that is why I've not linked it to anybody else's group on Ravelry. But I look like that sometimes. Look at the scarf, not me. And don't think of purple elephants either. CR. Nelly, she's purple. Anyway, my friend Jill loved it, and I've been told she's worn it a couple of times since. I was at Textile Artists this week, and it was an all-day affair. And it was a great craft day for me, and at night time I went to spinning. Not that I did much spinning, but I did oil up my machine. I set up a hackle, and I wound up my yarn into hanks for dyeing. Come back to Textile Arts. Well, as aforementioned, the Quilting Arts magazine, we're doing all the techniques in there. But there was a study of colours. It was a small quilted wall hanging with the colour wheel and the colour families nicely displayed on it for ease of use. I found it a great exercise, firstly to find the normal colour wheel, and we used the cyan one, which is the one that computer printers use. I mean, who knew? I did know, but I didn't actually put two and two together. And then we had to match up the family of colours, because you get cousins, in-laws, associates, coordinates. Aye. Most of the time was spent trying to find the right colour and then match up. I got mine all backed with Bond Web, and then probably forgot in which order they were to go into the quilt. I had mine all Bond Web in order on the quilt now, and it's awaiting stitching. But it was Celia, Valerie, Shirley and Catherine were doing that. Dorothy was machine embroidering a thistle, which had been printed onto an A4 piece of material. And she showed us her latest needle-felted picture of the heather-covered mountains of the Cairngorms, where she was on holiday recently. As ever, it looked like a painting from a distance. In fact, I thought it was, and then realised, no, can't be, Dorothy's holding it. She gave us a good tip. She said, pick your frame first, then size up the picture to match it, rather than the other way round. And she is so right about saying that. Ella was crocheting the lazy, curly scarf in kid silk haze and white. She was doing this because she's just back from holidays. She didn't have time to get prepared. And she had one made up in magenta pink, one in a bobbly white and blue thicker yarn, and she was starting a yellow one, and this was two strands of Shetland 2-ply in a coordinated yellow that she had got from Blytheswood Charity Shop, so for like £2, which was really good. And it was fun being back together and exciting to think of the days ahead of us this winter. Mum, thank you for looking after my bairns while I go and be textile artistic.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. And that's me. The Scottish segment will return next episode with the Clans and Tartan special. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you are all in good health and good fettle. You can download me from iTunes and Podbean. You can email me on keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. Get me on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt and join the Keithnesscraft Collective group in there. Oh, and thank you for the iTunes and Podbean reviews. I was delighted to receive them. Thank you very much. Also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers. And Twitter, I'm on Twitter as Keithnesscraft. Yes, give me cheek. K-star, that was funny. Now, I will be changing the music from The Wonderful Wild Mountain Time by Mark Gunn, courtesy of musicalley.com, from next episode. He's my summer plumage song, and the house martins are about flying south for the winter. I thought they'd gone, but I saw them on Thursday, and I've not noticed them this week. So, I haste you back, house martins. So this will be the last time I play it to you, and Sarah has requested that I play the whole thing. Thanks for listening, and keep on crafting.
Oh, the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain time grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? I will build my love a bower, my unclear and crystal fountain, and all around the bower I'll pile flowers from the mountain. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? I will roam country o'er, through that dark land so dreary, and all the spoils I find I'll bring to my darling dearie. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? If my true love, she won't come, I will surely find another to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? Oh, the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to Powyon Mountain Time, all around. Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go?